Hey everybody, this is Gene Troyer. I'm the lead pastor of Restore Church, and what a pleasure it is to welcome you to our podcast. It's my hope that you will be marked by love and encouraged in your faith and inspired to become all God has created you to be. Now I invite you to lean in and enjoy the podcast. I wonder if you'd just take a moment and pray with me. Father, we thank you this morning again for the gift of your son, Jesus, who came to this earth for our good and for our salvation. We thank you, Father, this morning again for the beautiful name that is Jesus, that he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We give you thanks today again that because he came, we have life. And we can have life abundantly. We can live into hope and joy and peace, and love is ours. We thank you today for what you're about to do in every household, in every space where this is seen today. And for any of you joining us online this morning, as we're gathered together, would you just continue to pray that this word would go deep into the root system of our spiritual lives and create a significant difference as only Jesus can do in our lives. So we thank you, God, for these moments together. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Well, you guys, this Thursday, in fact, it's four more sleeps. It's Christmas Eve. So a couple reminders. You have one more opportunity to pick up your Christmas Eve kit, and that's tomorrow from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. So stop in at R5M at the corner of 5th and Madison in downtown Goshen and get your Christmas Eve kit. You don't want to get to Christmas Eve without that, because you'll want to tune in for our two services at 5 and again at 8 o'clock, and together we will celebrate Christmas Eve. And if you haven't yet given to the 2020 Christmas offering, remember, we're believing for 100% involvement. Every one of us. The amount doesn't matter. If you have an extra buck or two, donate it and let's do what we can to help our community this Christmas season. If you don't know how to give, just go to our homepage at restore.church, click on the Give button in the upper right-hand corner, and that will give you all the information you need to give to the Christmas offering. Well, we've been in this season of Advent. This is where we still are. We believe that the season of Advent is a season of waiting, of expectation. Christ as child has come. Christ as King is coming to set everything right again. This is a season of hope. It's a season of peace and joy and love. It's kind of funny that we say this is a season for these distinct characteristics of the Christian experience. I mean, this is not just a seasonal thing we do. Christmas is coming. And so we may think, yeah, it's time to pull out some peace and I got to put some joy out there. And I better stop being a Debbie Downer. I better be hopeful. No. Perhaps we're just more alert this time of the year, but this is who we are. We are children of Almighty God, who is hope, who is joy, who is peace, and who is love. And if this is who he is, then this is who we are as well. So in the waiting, we're becoming. So how are you doing in the waiting? That's a good question. Because whatever it is that you're waiting on, in your waiting, are you living in hope? Are you living in peace? Are you living in joy? Because rather than love being an attribute of peace and hope and joy, it's just the opposite. See, I think and I believe that if you find peace, if you find hope and joy, you're going to discover love too. So is love growing stronger in us as we wait? Because these days we're waiting and it can be super frustrating because we're experiencing so many things for the very first time. Things seem out of our control. We're fearful and we're anxious about the future. These are all very real emotions we're feeling. So I'm not trying to discount those, but where's the love in all of this? So we have a bit of a dilemma, because in our humanness, especially in a time of crisis, we can easily get confused. We think we can love joylessly. We think we can love hopelessly. And we think we can gossip and complain, create dissension and division, and somehow we still try to convince ourselves that we're living in love. Nothing could be further from the truth. Now, I could safely assume that not a one of you has ever stopped and consciously thought of it in this way. But the vast majority of us are either living like this right now, or we have lived this way. So it's the season of Advent, and we're waiting. And so what is happening while we're waiting? Are we leaning into Jesus? Are we looking out for the good of others? What's our love quotient? These important questions can get lost in the rush of our busyness. This is why we keep pointing each other back to Jesus, because in our waiting, we've got to keep becoming the people of the Jesus way, which is the way of the hopeful, the way of the peaceful, the joyful, and the loving. In the past 3 weeks, we've talked about hope and peace and joy, and now today, we'll close out this collection of talks with this final Sunday of Advent's focus on love. So, how are you doing with love? Have you been burned by love? Is it just another four-letter word? I'd venture to guess that all of us have felt misunderstood. We've been maligned by humans that should have known better. We've given and received ill-fitting clothes that presented themselves as love, and when we wear them, we are never our true selves, but we are the expression of those misshaped and mismatched shirts and trousers we've hung on ourselves. And maybe you've believed the lies that those rags you're standing under are indicative of your worth and your value. So let's get perspective. Let's dig in a little more. Let's get real personal. So how are you doing with life and love? Are you self-serving? Do you keep record of wrongs? Are you provoked by another person's behavior? Is there someone in your life that brings out the worst in you? Oh, I know. You're far too Christian to actually address the issue straight up. No, we Christians, we like the passive aggressiveness that is the preferred language of church people. See, it's too hard and would show way too much honor and respect for the other person to actually take the risk and step out of our comfort zone and just be real. So I'm being facetious, yes. But let me ask again, are you self-serving? Do you keep any record of wrong? Are you provoked by another person's behavior? Yes, yes, and yes. Although united with Jesus, we often show every evidence but love. And so then we find ourselves powerless in this life. See, love is here, love has come, and it doesn't have to be that difficult, except that love requires us to consider others before ourselves, and that is the most difficult. Here's the thing. God already sent his son to do the hard work. Jesus has come. His love is extravagant, and some of us have people in our lives that we would say have shown us that kind of love, who have overlooked, they've forgiven our mistakes, they've forgiven our offenses, they've embraced us and accepted us without condition. Now, sometimes we call this unconditional love, agape love. This is the love of our Heavenly Father who sent his son into the neighborhood, which means he sent Jesus to become human and to provide rescue for all humanity. This love, his love, it knows no boundaries. It is all-encompassing and accepts us where we are, no matter where we've been. It is unending, his love is. It's all-consuming and brings us into right living and right relationship. It is beautiful, this kind of love. It is hopeful, it is peace-filled, it is joyful, and it is given without condition. You see, much of our context for this kind of love would say that we would need to do something, that we would be required to act a certain way, or at least do something that would create some sort of worthiness of this kind of love. I mean, if you think about the Christmas season, you can't hardly separate the idea of Santa Claus. And Santa is checking his list. I mean, he's checking it twice. He's not taking any chances here that he's going to give something naughty to somebody that's been nice. That's the way of Santa. That's not the way of Jesus. And yet the Father looks on us and says, my love is yours because you're my child. You're created in the image of Almighty God. And because you have the breath of life in you, you've been deemed worthy of this kind of love. It's unconditional love sent from the Father through his Son, Jesus, who died on the cross for our sin, all our mistakes and failures, all our mishandling of each other, the disrespect and hatred. This Jesus who rose again on the third day so that we together could experience this extravagant love, this eternal life that doesn't begin sometime in some distant place, but God comes close and it begins today, right now, wherever you are. All it takes is for us to simply surrender our lives to Jesus, and eternity begins right now. Turn with me now to Scripture. Let's go to John chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. This is the most well-known scripture in all of the Bible. This is how much God loved the world. He gave his Son, his one and only Son, and this is why, so that no one need be destroyed. Some of our translations would say, so that no one would perish. And perish has to do with our action, not God. See, we get that confused sometimes because we think that God sends us to be destroyed. God is the one that sends us to be perished. And yet it is our action that causes us to perish. God came to give us life. And by believing in him, anyone can have a whole and lasting life. God didn't go to all the trouble of sending his Son merely to point an accusing finger and tell the world how bad it was. He came to help. He came to help to put the world right again. But even with this knowledge, loving the difficult ones, the offensive ones, those whose personality just makes us bristle, those who provoke us, it is such a challenge, isn't it? Wouldn't you agree? The distance, the information that we have, this idea of love, that information needs to travel from the head to the heart. And it's the longest 18 inches in the world. But travel it must, because when we love, truly love, we won't hold a record of wrong. Selfishness is replaced with looking out for the good of the other, and long-suffering patience, hard to do, but it's practiced when we love. The truth is that in this life, we can only know, we can only experience in part. It's a partial experience, but in the next life, the life to come, the one we wait for with eager expectation, we will know and we will experience fully. And yet even now, in the waiting, with partial knowledge, we are hopeful and we are filled with peace and joy and love. After all, it is by our love that we are known. Check out these words of Jesus as he hung out with his closest followers on the night before his crucifixion. It's recorded in the Gospel of John, chapter 13. He says this. He says, a new command. This is a new command I'm giving you. Love each other. Just as I have loved you, you should love each other. Your love for one another will prove to the world. Here it is. Here it is. This is what we sometimes forget. The love we have for each other will prove to the world that we are God's disciples. And again, it's recorded in 1 John 4 that the Apostle John writes these words. He says, dear friends, he's admonishing the church. He's saying, dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. But how? How do we do this? Because surely the inability to express love any differently than the world is the elephant in the room for many of us that would say we're Christians. We like to think we live in love, but then if we're really honest, we don't do it very well either. And really, the only way to love as the Father loves is to know him and to know who we are as his sons and his daughters. In fact, if we don't grasp the truth that our power is in our union with Jesus, and if we don't get some understanding about our position in him, that we're already seated in the heavenly realms, that we no longer need to capitulate to our human desires, our human selfish ambitions, we will find love to be a frustrating exercise in futility, because we will keep trying to love in our own strength. But here's the deal. Jesus, in a conversation with his friends, told them that a helper, the Spirit of truth, would come alongside. And he says, because I am in you and you are in me. This is to say that the Spirit comes and is representing the truth of the gospel of Jesus in us, we become one with Jesus through the Holy Spirit. And if we are one with the Spirit of God, then we have power unending. We have love unending. We have hope and joy and peace within us. Author Ted Decker says that it could be said that the primary role of the Holy Spirit is to reveal that you are one with and in Christ, because as you experience your true identity in Christ, you will naturally love as He loves. And now again, we turn to John chapter 3. And this is the word from John the Baptizer. John the Baptist, the one that flipped in the belly of his mother Elizabeth at the sight of Jesus. Now, this is what he says. He says, "The one that God sent speaks God's words, and don't think he rations out the Spirit in bits and pieces. The Father loves the Son extravagantly. He turned everything over to him so that he could give it away, a lavish distribution of gifts. That is why whoever accepts and trusts the Son gets in on everything, life complete and forever. And that is also why the person who avoids and distrusts the Son is in the dark and doesn't see life. All he experiences of God is darkness, and an angry darkness at that. See, when you love as the Father loves, without condemnation, then the world will know Jesus was sent by the Father, and that the Father loves all in the same way he loves his Son. So what is the nature of your Father's love for you? Do you think he asks you to express love in any way he does not? If he asks you to turn the other cheek, do you think he doesn't? If he asks you not to be offended by insults, do you think he can be?" The Apostle Paul writes these words in 1 Corinthians 13 as a description of God's love for you and I. He says, "Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not jealous. It does not dishonor others, including friends and enemies. Love always trusts. Love always hopes. Love shows no arrogance. Love keeps no record of wrong. Love is not provoked by another person's behavior." And I know, we hear all that. But of course, we may look at our situation. You may look at your life situation, and you may think that there's a clause in this description of love for you. And maybe you doubt that God is kind to you because the world has been unkind to you. So you got to trust Him. You got to trust Him. The life you live on earth will be over in a blink of an eye, and then you'll see how needlessly you succumbed to fear, how living in fear was a needless blight on your life. Maybe you think He doesn't trust you, but He sees you in His likeness, and He trusts you to the ends of the earth. So trust Him. It's all going to work out for good. He promises that everything works out for the good of those that follow Him. Now, you may look at your troubles rising against you and think that God is angry. Let me just say, your heavenly Father cannot be threatened or provoked like an earthly father. So I don't know what your earthly father experience has been like, but that is not necessarily the characteristic of your heavenly Father. Neither can you fail the one who is infinitely complete. Your Father in heaven is infinitely complete. Only the darkness you see blinds you from seeing how innocent and complete you are in His eyes. So don't listen to the accuser who whispers lies about the Father's condemnation. Don't embrace the deception and project your own self-condemnation on the world around you. Your misery will only deepen, and your awareness of the Father's love for you will fade. But take heart, embrace hope, because today you will see past the deception that blinds you. This is a word for someone today, and perhaps it is a word that needs to be settled in many of us today, because today is the day of your liberation from the prison that has held you captive. Today you'll see with new eyes, and seeing it, we're believing together that you will begin to love yourself as He loves you. And as you love yourself, you'll be able to love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus' final instructions to His disciples in John chapter 15 are these. These are true for us still today. He says, "I've loved you the way my Father has loved me. So make yourselves at home in my love. If you keep my commands, you'll remain intimately at home in my love. That's what I've done. I've kept my Father's commands and made myself at home in His love. I've told you these things for a purpose. that my joy might be your joy, and your joy wholly mature. This is my command, love one another the way I have loved you. This is the very best way to love. Put your life on the line for your friends. You are my friends when you do the things I command you. Now, I'm no longer calling you servants, because servants don't understand what their master is thinking and planning. No, I've named you friends because I've let you in on everything I've heard from the Father. Those are such beautiful words that compel us to lean into Jesus, to turn up our ability to hear the Father's words to us, so that when we're tempted to determine who is worth loving, when we judge who could possibly be worse than us and who God would approve or disapprove of, when we do this, the love of the Father is not in us. We think we can judge the heart, but no man judges the heart. That is only for God to do. We think that our judgment of the outside is legit, but Jesus says it's what's on the inside that matters. Our soul is eternal. Our body of soil is already dying. It's decaying. You know, we get 70, maybe 80 years, and then all these accomplishments on earth, our money, our homes, our cars, all that we would hold close on this earth will not be of any value to us. Only love is of any value. Only love spans the gap between now and then, between heaven and earth. Thin places were those places the Celts would refer to when speaking of moments or locations where close encounters with God seemed to happen. Thin places. I hope you've experienced a thin place today. Maybe you've experienced them in your everyday, ordinary life. And it's not so much about location as it is heightened awareness. See, God is with us, always. But we are not always with God. See, I want God's ways to be my ways. I really want to choose love always. But it's also true that the good I want to do, I do not do, and that which I don't want to do, I do. Again, these are the words of the Apostle Paul. What a mess I am. And yet Jesus, the God-man coming to earth to take on the form of humanity, he moves into the neighborhood. He became one of us. He teaches us that love is the best way forward. Despite all the vitriol, the poison in our relationships, and the fractured state of our minds, our souls yearn. Our hearts want love. We want healing. But getting it means surrendering. And surrendering requires us to let love do its deep work. And when our hearts are hard and when our thoughts are dark, the penetration of light is ever more difficult. Here's the thing. Though light overcomes darkness, no matter the depth of the darkness, light always overcomes it. And the truth is, we are the light of the world. Those are the words of Jesus. We are the representation of Jesus. We bring his light wherever we go. And wherever we go, we keep pushing back the darkness. And this is why Jesus implored us to right living, to love instead of hate, to care for the poor, to honor each other with the same love that he has so generously given us, one that lays down his life for the other. Look, I know me, and I know that one of the most difficult things to do is to put aside my own agenda, my selfishness, and consider others before myself. But we who have aligned ourselves with Jesus, if we're saying we're following the Jesus way, we do so not by saying the right words and keeping the right rules, but we love as the preeminent practice in our lives. And we can say, along with Jesus, that we are the light of the world. And we will let our light shine brightly before others so that our good works, in other words, anything we can do that is commendable, will point right back to our loving Heavenly Father and give honor to the name who is above all names, the one who is worthy to be called King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the everlasting Father, he is the mighty God, he's the Prince of Peace, he's the wonderful Counselor, and the one who is and who is to come. His name, friends, his name is Jesus. And now may God bless you and keep you. God smile on you and gift you. God look you full in the face and make you prosper. You guys, we love you and we can't wait to see you again. Thanks for joining us for today's episode. Please rate and review us on Spotify and iTunes and join us again for next week's podcast. We love you and pray blessing and peace over you and your family.